You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
I want to talk to you tonight. If you want a Bible and don't have one, if you lift your hand, we'll get you one. We're going to read some verses tonight, and I would wish you'd want one and follow us along here. If you hold them up, and these guys will get you a Bible. I want to talk to you about the cost of compromise. I guess the gentleman I get amused sometime now. I refer to him as old gentleman, and he was younger than I am when he was doing this, and so that is kind of self-defeating. But the gentleman that pushed me, urged me into Bible study, used to say that the worst word in the English language was compromise. Compromise. As I was reading some of the things that we're going to read here tonight, and you can go ahead and turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 10. We're just going to take one verse there, but we're going to go ahead and get there, if you would. I believe we could go to any book in the Bible and talk about this subject, because everybody has compromised. We just continue to compromise things, and we're probably living at the height of it. If there was any time that was probably worse than the time in which we live, it was probably in the days of Noah. But everywhere we turn, there's a compromise. Go along to get along. Straddle the fence. Happy medium. All of these things. And there's a man that was the smartest man that ever lived in Scripture that we're going to talk about. Because if anybody ought to have known better than compromise, should have been him. When you're considered the smartest man in the world, I know some of you won't believe this, but I've never been considered that. Nobody ever accused me of being one of them guys that made straight A's. I had to work at not making them. And he was also the richest man in the world. And most of our compromising many times is because of money. And we do some things for money that we normally wouldn't have done. We let sometimes people take advantage of us for money. We get involved in some bad principle things for money. When I first started going into prison, for the first 7 years that I went into prison, taught a Bible class at the Big Spring Federal Prison, everybody over there was in there because of money. It was a white-collar, nonviolent type that had to do with money. It was kind of a joke, but it was really the truth. I used to tell those guys they could steal more money with a ballpoint pen than most people could with a .38. And they could. They were smart. But the compromise, and so why would this guy compromise when he's got all the money and got all the brilliance and he's king? He's got all the power. You would think that somebody in that position would never compromise. Hey, I'm in control. We're talking about Solomon, David's son, who took David's place as the king of Israel. And you'd think there'd be no need for him to compromise. He started great. So in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 19 is where the nation of Israel was wanting a king. And the reason they wanted a king is they wanted to compromise. They wanted to be like other nations. They said, we're not like other nations. God said, I'm your king. Aren't you satisfied with me? And they said, well, no. We want a king. We want to be like the other people. How much have we done to be like somebody else? To dress like somebody else. To talk like somebody else. To act like somebody else. To have a house like somebody else, a car like somebody else. We call it keeping up with the Joneses. We're compromising our position. And they said they want to be a king. Verse 19 of chapter 10, he said, and ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of your adversities and your tribulations, and you have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. We want a king. We want to have that. Now then, if you turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, back to the left just a little bit. A few books, Deuteronomy chapter 17. And God had told them what would happen if they kept wanting a king. Deuteronomy 17, and look at verse 16 and 17. And speaking of that king, God said, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall... Now, he's saying what a king ought not do. By the way, if you read your Bible much, you'll find it's a pretty negative book. Most of the writers had not read Norman Vincent Peale's Power of Positive Thinking, and so they were pretty negative about everything. Starting with the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, you know. But he said, a king is not to multiply horses to himself. He's not to multiply, verse 17, wives to himself. And neither should he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Three things that God said the king shouldn't do. Shouldn't multiply horses, shouldn't multiply wives, shouldn't multiply silver and gold. Now then, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 10. Back to the right. 1 Kings chapter 10. And we're going to start with about verse 27 and stay there. We're going to be here a while now. But I wanted you to turn and let us lay out what Solomon does. In verse 27, we see that Solomon multiplied horses. Verse 27, the silver. Remember he said, don't multiply silver and gold. Don't multiply horses. Don't multiply wives. Verse 27, the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. It's just like rocks laying on the ground. That's how much money they had. Just lay it out there. His stones and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. Also Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And the chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. So he's already multiplied two things, so not two. Now then, let's move to chapter 11. Just keep going. He said, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Now, that means Gentile women. That doesn't mean I met some of them. But that's not what I said he meant. He loved, and by the way, notice this, he loved them. He loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them. God said, stay separated from them. Here's Solomon over there marrying them. See? Separation is another thing. That's a solution to compromise most of the time. And we don't have much separation anymore. See, we need to hand out programs at church because you can't tell a Christian it's not a program. They always act alike. See? He said, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they shall turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. This guy's got 1,000 women. An old boy down in Alabama, an old country preacher was preaching, and he said Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he fed them ambrosia. An old boy jumped up in the back and said, never mind what he fed them, what did he eat? Verse 4, it came to pass that when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after, notice, this is a dedicated went after, Ashtoreth, the goddess of Zidonians. All of these that we're going to mention here, these names, And by the way, when you're studying the Bible, don't let the name stop you. If you can't pronounce the name, just call him Bubba or Susie or somebody. So go ahead, get the message. Don't worry about the names. But he said they came, these different goddesses and different idols, the Zidonians and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. That's another god. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, is David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination unto the children of Ammon. All of these are their gods that they worship. They're all religious. And likewise did he for all the strange wives which burn incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And then the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which he had appeared unto him twice. Two times God had come to Solomon. The first time was when Solomon was being made king by his daddy David. And God came to Solomon, and Solomon prayed, Lord, give me wisdom to rule your people. And God told Solomon, he said, because you didn't ask for money, and you didn't ask to defeat your enemies, he said, I'm going to give that to you. He made him the richest man in the world, and there was not one war during Solomon's reign as king of Israel. He said, I'm going to give that to you because you asked for wisdom to take care of my people. The second time that he appeared in Solomon is when Solomon had completed the temple. David had wanted the temple built. Solomon was the one that completed it. And he met him at the ornation of that temple. He said, I met with you twice, and now you're turning your back on me. Now you're going the other direction. Now you're compromising. Now, notice three things here about Solomon. We're going to hit them pretty quickly. Number one, it said Solomon loved his wives. If there's any young people out here in love tonight, don't use that as an excuse to get married. I used to hit some bars with a guy that said it took him, every bar he went into, it took him about 10 minutes to fall in love and about half that long to fall out. How many people have said, oh, I just love her? My middle boy, and I've got some good kids that's raised by a bad daddy, but my kids always want me to do their wedding. And I was so impressed with that till it dawned on me that they didn't have to pay the preacher. Wasn't because they wanted me, just, you're free, got a freebie. But My middle boy was getting married to his second wife. I'd performed the ceremony in the first wedding. And he come to me. And I said, I want to talk to y'all first. So he and his little wife, and she'd been married also, we go sit down privately. And I turned to Matthew, my son. I said, Matt, why do you want to marry Robin? And he said, Daddy, I love her. I said, son, that's what you told me about Trina. It went downhill from there. I said, Robin, why do you want to marry Matt? Well, I love him. I said, you didn't love the guy you got two kids by? My point being, I wasn't against him getting married. The point being that you better have something more going for you than just this love. Love. By the way, God said he loved it. It wasn't that he's using these women. He loves these women. And because of that, they turned his heart. They misused him. See, you said, well, man, the Bible said love's the greatest thing in the world. No, it doesn't. It said charity was. You go out and look in 1 Corinthians 13, and the Bible your mama and grandmama read said charity. And you know why? Because it said there in the 8th verse, charity faileth not. But if you look in Matthew 24, it said, love, the love of many shall wax cold. That means it fails. Love can be as fickle, and folks love and then they hate. I know folks that's got families that's got love-hate relationship. They can't get along with one another and they can't get along without one another. And they fight. You better have more. You better look to where God is and say, Lord, is this who you want me to marry? I'm going to tell you what. Marriage and relationships are tough enough when you're asking God for help. And they're going to get impossible without that. And so Solomon didn't seek God's love. He love is not the reason for anybody. Do that. Second thing is Solomon disobeyed God. God told him what to do and he is going after him. He did it knowingly. He did it deliberately. He did it purposely. Most of the things, most of the sins we commit, we know they're sins when we commit them. That's why we tried to hide them. That's why we tried to go undercover with them. That's why we snuck around to do them. And Solomon knew that. We're not talking about somebody that doesn't know the difference. We're not talking about a kid that didn't know who God was. We're not talking about a man that didn't and hadn't had a relationship with God. And yet, as a Christian, we can do these very same things and end up on the shelf, as it were, because God's not going to use us. He quit using Solomon. And he told him, he said, because of David, because of your daddy, I'm not going to split your kingdom. But as soon as you're gone and your son takes over, I'm splitting his. And that's exactly what he did. Jerked 10 tribes out of the 12 just like that. And caused them to split. Because of compromise. Solomon's attitude. Notice in verse 2 here. He said, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go unto them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they shall turn away your heart after their gods. Notice this. Solomon clave. That means clung to. Got a hold of. Grasped. These in love. He deliberately grabbed a hold of them. He wanted them. This is a motive. Not just an act, but an act with a motive. This is what he wanted. He clung to them instead of God. So he can't have it both ways. And for somehow, we seem to have, in this day and time, people that say, well, I'm going to get saved and then live like I want to. And may I add here, if you really get saved, then there's a bunch of things you ain't going to want to anymore. I want to tell you one thing. If you get saved, God will fix your want to. He's got a way of dealing with your want to. See, if you're walking with the Lord, you can take all the drugs you want to take because you won't want any. And let me tell you why. The reason people do drugs and alcohol is to change what we're thinking. We call them mind-altering drugs. If you's happy, would you want to alter it? No. No, if you're happy, you want to keep it right that way. My, how many times, everybody in here that's God's child, there's times when you've seen God move, that there's times when you've seen and felt the presence of God and you just wanted to stay there. See, I understand, and old Peter, but when they are up on the Mount of Transfiguration and he sees Moses and Elijah and Jesus Christ, and he sees Christ in that radiance and that glory, and he said, man, let's just build some tabernacles and stay here. I understand that. Here, Solomon's got the wrong attitude about this. And not only did he disobey God, but he became, and listen to this, he became a dedicated idolater. And one thing you learn about religion, when people are religious, they'll get after it. They'll be getting after it wrong. But they're going after it. Solomon did. He went to all these places with all of these gods that we, some of them I probably mispronounced their names. But it didn't make them any less real. You can never be neutral. You remember what Jesus said? He said, he's not with me, he's against me. You can't be neutral. You can't say, well, I don't think I'll pick today. When Joshua walked in and told the nation of Israel, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He didn't say, I'll choose you this day. You better choose God or I'll kill you. He said, choose who you want to. I'll tell you who I'm going to choose. But choose. Not going to be neutral. Notice verse 6. It said, as Solomon did evil on the side of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord. He went fully after those gods. And they turned his heart. Notice verse 5. For Solomon went after. But in verse 6, he went not fully after the Lord. He started right. Let me say this. Starting right's good. I hope that there's people in here tonight that got a good start, but we all know this. They don't record the score at the half. See, finishing right. Paul wrote, sitting in that Roman prison, Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Paul didn't start very good. Paul was anti-Christian. Paul was anti-Christ. Paul hated Christians. He hated Christ. But let me tell you, he finished right. He said, I fought a good fight. And Christianity is not a milquetoast, Mickey Mouse type of lifestyle. It's a fight. It's a war. That's why Paul, in another place, sitting in that same prison, said, put on the whole armor of God. You don't put on armor just to show off. We're not having a parade. Having a battle. So, no happy medium with God. Jesus said, me or the other way. He's not with me. is against me. Can't be. No, Lord, I don't want to be against you. I'm not against you. Now, I'm not against Christians. I'm not against Christianity. I'm just not really sold on it, and so I'm just kind of neutral about. No, you're not. Now, Jesus said, can't be that. He said, if you're not with him, then he said, you're against me. But no, I don't want to be. No, I didn't make news. He already said, you're against me. That's what he said. Solomon dedicated himself to idolatry and ended up in the worst of places with the worst testimony. And you don't hear him mentioned much anymore. He writes three books in this Bible. Proverbs. They're just a good old horse sense book. The Song of Solomon that nobody reads very much because it's a romance book. And then he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, which is the most depressing book in the whole Bible. And Solomon is depressed because he said all is vanity and vexation of spirit. There's no prophet under the sun. And there's not in this world. There's not any prophet under the S-U-N. You know where you got to go? You got to go to the S-O-N. There, let's bow your heads. Maybe, but while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, your life has been one more of compromise. You know what you want to do. You don't know that you want whether you want to do it now. You're not quite sure. You know what you ought to do, but I don't know if I'm willing to do that. And it's just kind of a bouncing around. Wouldn't you like to take a stand for Jesus Christ tonight? If you've never been saved, you know what? He will save you this very night. You can walk out of here on the way to heaven. He can save you this very night. If you want him to trade you. He died for you. He paid the debt for you. And he's extending his arms and asking you to come home. If you're God's child, but it's not very visible, you've been compromising life. And what you need to do, you don't need to maybe pray with anybody else. You need to, you and God need to have an understanding. Maybe one of them little come to Jesus talks. I want you to come. I want you to kneel at this altar and say, Lord, I'm coming home. I've been wishy-washy. And with your help, Lord, I'm going to walk straight. With your, I know I can't do it by myself. I'm not going to promise you one thing I can do. But Lord, with your help, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to give it a try. I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to pray. Stand to your feet, head still bowed, Father. In a moment, we're going to ask some folks to come. I pray that you give them the courage to step out for Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary for us. So the least we can do is just step out for him. Father, help us each to be honest with you. You see a heart. Nobody can. I can't see their heart. They can't see mine. We can both lie to one another. But we can't lie to you. So Father, I pray now that your Holy Spirit would nudge those that need to come. As Brother Doug sings, head still bowed, eyes still closed. I wandered far away from home. Come on home. Would you come right now? Are you compromising?
The path of sin. Too long I tried. Lord,
are you doing what God wants you to do? When I asked Brother Doug, sing one more verse. Coming home. He's on the chorus now. Sing one more verse. No one comes. We'll be through. But I want to give you that opportunity to do what you know you need to do. Will you do it? This is the last chorus. Have you done what God wants you to do? Out as you go out tonight, and no one needs to hurry, enjoy their refreshments. But there's some pamphlets, or there are little booklets actually sitting there called What Have I Done, What Do I Do Now? If you've trusted Christ and have never picked up one of those little pamphlets, do that. If you don't have a Bible and you've got one tonight, that's our gift to you from a rec room. You feel free to take it with you. If not, if you'll put it on the table as you go out tonight, we'd appreciate it, and then we won't have to pick them up in the chairs. But if you'd pick that up, if you would just like to talk to somebody, you say, Leland, I need to talk to somebody. I've got some questions. There'll be somebody here that would be glad to talk to you. Brother Doug's here. Brother Johnny's here. Kathy's here. Brother Rick's here. We got folks that will be very glad to just sit down and visit with you with that Bible. Thank you for being here. Don't forget to breakfast. God bless you. Have a great week.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.